This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Exactly 10 minutes before 11. Welcome to the Hlanganani Midday Show. My name is Awe Tukelese, and we are broadcasting live from Dr. Pixley Seme Hall, where the memorial service organized by Imango Sutu University of Technology is underway. So, kumula kutigege, yesterday, imikona I memorial service that was organized by EIFP. Wamanje, sinana geti na as MUT Radio and Imango Sutu Yonke, we are here at Peaks Liga Isaka Seme Hall to celebrate the life of Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi. Everyone was invited here, including ama students as well as the staff, and sengengaboni sifikile ifamily kamntwana uPrince Mangosuthu Buthelezi. We'll be bringing you ama guests ahlukahlukene azobe ngena khona live la kwi MUT Radio. So do stay tuned with us. Njengamanje on stage we do have uReverend M Makanya, who is opening who is doing the opening prayer khona la Imango Sutu University of Technology. Khona ke Mr. Begging Hlophe okuyena ozobe esibambele uhlelo lwa namhlanje. Akhona ke ama speakers ahlukene njengoba bese sike sasho na kuyisho kalushozi ukuthi ke ke we are expecting umntwana uzuzifa Buthelezi, who will be giving a speech on behalf of his family, or who is the son of Imango Sutu Buthelezi. We'll be taking you live to the event as iqhubeka khlanathi right here on EMUT Radio. If you want to send a word of condolences, you can do that using our WhatsApp line, which is 0681608832. MUT Radio is Okthatha Ikubeke.
Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, sanibonani. Now, before I present my eulogy, I'm going to request that we do two things. Umtwana was an Anglican. He was a Christian, a fellow Anglican, but he was also a political activist and a political leader. So I'm going to request that we all stand up. We get a hymn that is going to energize us all as we celebrate this extraordinary life of Shenge. And once we've done that, I'm going to ask his comrades to give him, as a celebratory send-off, their most favored political song. So we do those two things to acknowledge the kind of person Umtwana was. Let's start with a hymn. Pinky, are you going to lead us?
Yes, Prof.
Can we all stand? Ladies and gentlemen, as the community of Mangosuthu University of Technology, we are in deep grief. An outstanding leader, a mentor, a friend, and father to many South Africans is no longer with us. Indeed, a great tree has fallen. While we mourn, we also celebrate the extraordinary life of Umtwana Phindangene. The gigantic tree that Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi was spread its roots across South Africa and the entire African continent. When Shenge established MUT in 1979 with just 15 students, he knew as a visionary that a small institution that Mangosuthu Technikon was would grow into a large educational organization that would have the greatest impact on the poor and the marginalized. Today, MUT has over 14,000 students and has produced more than 42,000 graduates who are employed across the world as industry and business leaders, as well as being technical specialists in wide-ranging careers. Now, I want you to imagine what was in Umtwana's mind in 1979 when he came up with the idea of a technical institution in Umlazi for black South Africans. Did he have in his mind that one day this small institution would grow so big? We believe that he did, because that is in the nature of visionaries. They see what others cannot see. We thank God and the Buthelezi family for the gift that Shenge was. For our part as MUT, we are grateful that we were able to honor him when he was still alive at our 2022 graduation ceremony of the Faculty of Engineering. A faculty which was a founding faculty when Mangosuthu Technikon was established in 1979. We honored him for his vision and love of education. Today, MUT is a proud technological institution with a strong focus on science, engineering, and technology. All of us have known Umtwana as a person who always wanted nothing but the best for MUT. He was like a father who provides the best for his children and stands there to watch in awe as the children exceed all expectations. When MUT received the Acceleration Award from the National Research Foundation in 2021, in recognition of the excellence of its research and the accelerated speed with which the turnaround happened, Umtwana wrote to us and said the following, and I quote, "I am proud of what MUT has accomplished. More than that, however, I am excited by what this means for the future. With the investments being made in research, innovation, and technology at MUT, I have no doubt that there will be more awards like this. And with the investments that are being made in international partnerships, it is clear that MUT is a rising star." End of quote. Indeed, MUT is a rising star and is quickly emerging as a university known for institutional stability. For example, this year, 2023, has been the most peaceful year. We are happy to report as the leadership of the university that no single day was lost this year to student protests or labor action. Can we give our students and union leaders a round of applause? For this unparalleled record of stability, we are grateful to the student and union leadership at MUT. Whilst other universities were being rocked by student protest and labor action, MUT remained as an island of stability in a great sea of turbulence. To our student leaders and union leaders, we say you have, by your actions and the choices you have made, you have honored Schenker's legacy in the most profound manner possible. Stability, discipline, and total dedication to learning were Schenker's personal watchwords. We are certain that as he looks at us from beyond, he's happy to observe that his educational mission has been accomplished, that a revitalized community is imagined in this state of learning. Schenker's last meeting with us was at the inauguration of our Chancellor, Mr. Sandile Zungu, on 23 March of this year in this auditorium. At that event, he urged us, all of us, to lead MUT to greater heights. As the leadership of the university, we are happy to report that this plea has not fallen on deaf ears. We will ensure that MUT continues to grow in strength and stature so that Schenker's legacy is honored and protected. Umtuana's inspired idea that led to the establishment of our institution has brought positive changes in the lives of countless individuals and families, and the country's economy has also benefited. Indeed, if you want to change lives, if you want to impact the future, invest in education, build schools, train teachers. Can I ask you to give Schenker a resounding round of applause? We do not know where Schenker's inspiration came from, but we do know and have felt the impact of that inspiration. Thousands of MUT alumni are testimony to that impact. Our staff who earn a living through their contribution to the development of MUT are testimony to that impact. Residents of Umlazi who benefit directly and indirectly from the existence of MUT are testimony to that impact. Man, as we know, is mortal. Today, Schenker is no longer with us. But we're happy that his inspired idea lives on. Schenker has every right to be proud of what he has done and achieved. And he can be assured that his educational legacy will live forever. A teacher As one American writer observed, and I quote, affects eternity. For he can never tell where his influence stops. End of quote. Meaning that when you are a teacher, you teach a young person, your influence does not stop with that young person. Because the ideas, the insights, the knowledge you've imparted to that young person will in turn be transmitted to future generations. Because that young person will have a family, will have children, and will so impart what they have learned from you. So a teacher, ladies and gentlemen, affects eternity. Umtwana may not have been a teacher by profession, but he was one by virtue of his love for education and his unshakable belief that education empowers, that education creates prosperity. Let us honor Umtwana as a teacher whose impact is being felt today and will be felt forever. Can I ask you again to give him a round of applause? We'll continue to honor Shenge for his belief that education liberates. In years gone by, during the years of the anti-apartheid struggle, when others destroyed educational infrastructure, banned schools and libraries, and chanted the slogan, liberation before education, Shenge, like a tenfold beacon in the night, stood up and said no, no to the burning of schools. He said, we must instead educate for liberation. So we honor him today, and we will honor him always, not only for his legacy, but also for his moral courage and for his determination to say the unsayable and to tell unpopular truths. This was a remarkable trait of Shenge. He was not afraid to tell unpopular truths. He was not afraid to say what others were afraid to say. He was a man of great moral courage. Can we give him a round of applause? We hope many leaders will take a leaf out of his book, because today, many leaders, instead of telling the truth, bitter as it may be, opt for popular options, popular choices, popular statements, and so lead the country astray. A great French writer wrote many years ago that he who opens doors of learning closes the doors of prison. I want to repeat that. He who opens doors of learning closes the doors of prison. By establishing Mangosuthu Technikon in 1979, Umtwana closed prison doors for many young people. We cannot even fathom the number of young people that would have gone to prison had they not received an opportunity to learn. So Shenge saved lives. He created a better future for countless individuals and their families. We sincerely thank him for that inspired idea that he had. Let's give him again a round of applause. For his patience under adversity, for his courage under fire, Umtwana belongs to history as a leader and teacher who provides one of the greatest examples of true patriotism. He also belongs to posterity as the instructor of future generations in the principles of freedom and service. He also belongs to the present, to us, by virtue of his achievements and the values he cherished. A leader who is called upon to dedicate his life to his people and accept the responsibility graciously and execute this responsibility without complaining is the noblest development of humankind. Shenge was that example of the noblest development of humankind. Let's give him a round of applause. As the community of Mangosuthu University of Technology, we realize we cannot give Shenge a fitting eulogy for what he has done for us and for our country, because he has already written his own eulogy. His eulogy is out there for all of us to see. His eulogy is expressed through his many achievements. And so, we honor him as one of Africa's noblest figures, because in his love for his country and his people, he has given all that mortality can give. As I conclude, I want to say that very soon we will announce what the university will be doing to keep Shenge's legacy going on. I will be consulting my executive management to come up with a project that will sustain Shenge's legacy forever, and will share the news with you in due course. And so we say, rest in peace, Shenge. Mtwana wakaphinda ngene. Shenge sokwalisa phungashe. We'll always remember you.
The acting vice chancellor and principal, Professor Ramakgale, the administrator and professor, Mr. Van Staden, the deputy vice chancellor and the registrar, Dr. Phumzile Masala, the president and members of the MUT convocation, members. Members of the Student Representative Council present here today, the leadership of Sir Desmo, and all the staff of MUT and the community of Umlazi. Also, I want to greet the leadership of the IFP present here today, the chairperson of KwaZulu-Natal, Honorable Mayor Nduli, who is also the chair of SALCA, and the leadership of the IFP Youth Brigade led by Comrade Zondo, and my special greetings to His Royal Highness Prince Ntuthuko Yezwe Buthelezi, the son of the late Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi Shenge. Also want to greet Shenge Mnqaba, who is also accompanying the prince. You know, in such moments, one becomes so much overwhelmed. And these days, I'm very, very emotional. In fact, I've been avoiding to stand and speak before such a crowd. I also greet the Honorable Mayor of Umzinyathi, who is also the member of the NEC, who is present, Professor Nxumalo, also present in your capacity as the trustees. I'm very happy that you, Mpemba, is here today. Sharing, there's a specific reason why I'm saying that. And also the Youth Brigade of the IFP. Something very unique about His Excellency. If you look at what is happening here today, it's also remarkable, first of its kind. Mtwana was born in Mahlabathini and then he grew and became this largest human being ever. But what is very, very strange, before he could pass away, he requested that he be taken back to Kwaphindangene. Shenge, we don't have enough words to express our gratitude to you. Because those of us who have been watching even wherever that Umdwana was in his last years, actively so, the prince abandoned all his duties to support his father. He walked this journey alone with the prince until the last hour. But what I want to say is that Umdwana was discharged and slept peacefully in the comfort of his own bedroom where he was born. And today his final service is held at this university that he founded, which was named after him, in a hall that is named after his uncle, the founder of the African National Congress. Mtwana just folded himself into himself and then departed peacefully. So this defines the kind of a leader that he has been. I'm asked by the party to have few words to you in celebrating the legacy of Mtwana Kwaphindangene. Zondo Mabaso, Shenge, Umtwana used to say to the Youth Brigade leaders, but then the chairperson of the youth was still alive, Nxumalo. He will whisper to us how he was impressed about them and their contribution to the NEC. And they should never forget how they came about. Ndung, under what circumstances you were elected. And as the vanguard of the IFP, you should live up to that. Same thing applies to you, Mpemba. You know how you were elected as the provincial chairperson. Against all odds. In fact, the whole world, the whole South Africa, Prof, shook. The enemies of the founder started to speculate, because the founder of the IFP in his capacity now as a member of a branch, having all the privileges of every member in our constitution, stood up and proposed the name of Honorable Ntuli, exercising his right as a member, a card-carrying member of the IFP. The rest is history. So that's why I'm saying it's very strategic for me that he's here and also the Youth Brigade, considering those circumstances. But colleagues and friends, in this most painful moment of loss, the Inkatha Freedom Party joined hands with the Mangosuthu University of Technology to honor the life of a champion. The passing of Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi has been described by many as the end of an era. I feel that in my heart, for he was not only my political leader, but my mentor and the anchor of the Zulu nation. Our sense of loss is beyond measure. I thank God that Umntwana kaPhindangene taught me so well that death is not the end. He was a man of deep faith, a faith that I share. My only comfort in this terrible moment, indeed the only way I'm still standing, is the sure and certain knowledge that Umntwana is with his Lord, and we shall meet again. Our duty now is to honor the legacy of Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi and to remember the countless contribution he made in all our lives by dedicating his own life to serve South Africa. We in the IFP mourn the loss of our founder, who led us for 44 years and who confidently handed the baton to the next generation, believing that he had prepared us well for whatever that lay ahead. We mourn the loss of a champion of democracy. We mourn the loss of a freedom fighter, the loss of a man of principles. And as we stand in this hall today, we also mourn a giant in the field of education. The IFP is proud that Prince Buthelezi founded this institution. The Mangosuthu University of Technology stands as a living monument to his love of this country. The greatest testament to his legacy will remain the men and women who have studied at this university and go on to make their own contributions to South Africa. I remember some 10 years ago, Prince Buthelezi reading us a letter he had received from a young man whose name is Nkosinathi Manqele. Manqele was born the very same year MUT opened, and he wrote to the prince years later to thank him. I think it's befitting, program director, that I reread the letter so that you know what this gentleman said. And I quote, "Sir, let me pass my gratitude to you for having brought the factories to Isithebe and for having asked Mr. Harry Oppenheimer to establish Mangosuthu Technicon. Without this institution that you helped establish, I wouldn't have had the opportunities that I have today. Today I'm earning a very decent salary that I could have only dreamt about had you not started this institution. It doesn't surprise me to see among your many awards and accolades the Magna Awards for outstanding leadership. Swalisa Ngengelele Sheng." These sentiments have been echoed by countless South Africans who give thanks to what Shenge did. His passion for empowering through education was expressed in many ways. We in the IFP, the then Inkatha Nkululeko Sizwe, were first-hand witness to Mntwana's strategic wisdom. He understood what was needed, and he made way for that to be accomplished. I think, for instance, of instructing the Inkatha to send young black women to Kennedy Institute at St. Xavier University in Canada to study community savings and cooperatives. That was in the 70s, when families were struggling to put food on their table at the hardship of the apartheid government. I think of the banner he raised when the liberation movement came out with its slogan, "Liberation Now and Education Later," quote unquote. Prince Buthelezi said, no, that was wrong. He led us instead on the banner of education for liberation. I think of the good citizenship program that instituted in the curriculum of schools of KwaZulu, which taught children about democracy, selflessness, and the value in every contribution to our shared well-being. All of these things, Program Director, and many more. He did with an eye on the future he was building for us, for this generation and the next generation to come. He was laying a foundation that would enable us, long after his passing, to create our own destiny. Without that foundation that he laid, we'll be lost. It is obvious, therefore, that there is so much to be done to correct the wrongs in this country. The youth of South Africa are crying out for help. They are crying out for jobs and opportunities, and they are crying out for hope. We need to walk a difficult path to save South Africa from continued decline. But the good news is that this can be done. We can walk this journey because of leaders like Prince Buthelezi, who have straightened the path, who have drew up a map and showed us quite clearly how to travel this journey. His legacy is not in the past, it is now, and it's only going to grow as we, the patriots of this generation, following on the footsteps of our greater pioneer. In 2019, when Prince Buthelezi stepped down from the presidency of the IFP, he gave us a final mandate as the party. His instruction was that the IFP should protect women and children. We are committed to that change, and we recognize what it means to protect women and children. We recognize that it does not mean only standing against gender-based violence and femicide, but standing up for gender equality and to empower the youth. The best way to ensure a child's future is to invest in their education. If we are to protect the children of South Africa, we need to do whatever it takes to ensure that they are educated. Following the footsteps of the prince, we must understand what must be done and make way for that to be accomplished. When Prince Buthelezi founded the Bimangosuthu Technical in 1979, he sought to enable graduates to take up job opportunities and to create job opportunities, to become entrepreneurs, and to give their contribution to our society and our country's liberation. He was also able to secure funding for this institution because of his high regard which he held. He was widely known as a trustworthy man with uncompromising moral values. It made him a friend to many, and that opened many doors. One of his friends was the chairman of Anglo-American and the Beer Group, Mr. Harry Oppenheimer, who had created the Chairman's Fund to channel resources towards Oppenheimer's philanthropic initiatives. The prince approached Mr. Oppenheimer with his vision to create a tertiary institution that will offer vocational training. Oppenheimer called the vision immediately and provided funding. Prince Buthelezi often reminded us that it was not his decision to name this institution in his honor. That was never his intention. The suggestion to name this institution after him was from the then minister, Dr. Oscar Dlomo. But as Prince Buthelezi told us, he was deeply honored, for he knew that this institution would reflect a legacy of investment in education for generations to come. He was right indeed. And in years ahead, we pray that he will continue to be vindicated. We pray that MUT will go from strength to strength as one of the fundamental facets in the manifold legacy of Prince Buthelezi. This is how we honor him, by continuing his work and the service to South Africa. His life will forever be celebrated. We have lost a champion indeed. We have lost a mentor. We have lost a friend. But we have gained an invaluable gift, the gift of hope. For that, we salute you, Shenge. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, colleagues. Colleagues and friends, please allow me to Before I request His Royal Highness to come on stage, let me thank Inkosi Buthelezi for his speech. And let me also point out that the love and respect that we got from our great leader who passed away on the 9th of September is also extending to the family. It was announced that on this day, on Thursday, the Shanga family will focus on family matters, and they requested that there will be no guests visiting them. But look at what we have. We have His Royal Highness visiting MUT at such a critical day, the day they had set aside to dedicate whatever they were going to do. It was going to be a family affair. But here, His Royal Highness is here, giving us love and respect, just like his father did. Can we please clap hands?
Mr. Master of Ceremonies, you'll forgive me, I have a bit of flu, but I had to come to Mangosuthu. Mr. Master of Ceremonies, thank you for the opportunity. Baba Sobaba Bishop, Vice Chancellor, who is our host, Inkosi Umzamo Buthelezi, who has just spoken before me, Baba Mayor Wasenkandla Mpemba, Professor Nxumalo, who is amongst us here, and my brother here who accompanied me, Unqaba. Excuse me. Deputy Vice Chancellor, Professor Sibiya. Chancellor Dr. Van Kola, the Registrar Dr. Pumzile Masala, President and members of the MUT Convocation, members of the Student Representative Council, staff, students, friends of MUT, distinguished guests, and of course, I can never forget the community of Umlazi, where Mangosuthu University is located. And I would really like to say I feel very proud to be standing in front of you here in front of, to thank you for this memorial. Vice Chancellor, when you spoke about certain things like my father being a teacher, people talk about him in terms of leadership. And then it makes you think that these things start very early in life. Actually, it starts at home. Leadership starts in your home, because you can be one of the most important people in the world. But if, for instance, you are a poor father, or a poor husband, or a poor mother, or a poor wife, I think it counts for nothing. So it really starts every day in our lives. About my father, a Vice Chancellor, being a teacher, again, it made me reflect back to say, looking at what he has done, starting from us at home, what he has taught us, and what he has taught other people around the family and outside in the wider world. Because my father is a sharer, was really a compulsive sharer. Someone, one motivational speaker once said, you know, one of the objectives of life should be to die empty. Meaning that all of us, whatever you have learned in your life, share it. Don't die bloated. My father was outstanding in sharing. I can assure you, he died empty. Another thing which defined my father really was he refused to die an unlived life. He packed his life so much that we felt with our mother that we were left behind. So when we get these opportunities, friends of my father and of our family, we always think we should take the opportunity to share with you about maybe what you don't know about our father, because everybody knows the leadership qualities what he did for communities, which is why a lot of you woke up today and froze your diaries to come and be here to celebrate his life. But he's really someone who was just unbelievable. It also showed us that, you know, I think all of us come across every day where if you live with someone in close proximity, you never realize how big they are. We've just been overwhelmed at home, and we've just don't even know how to respond to so much love, so much support at home from the day our father passed away to now. Yesterday, I think the day before yesterday, we could not believe when we started counting how many delegations had been there to pass condolences. We had 17 delegations in one day. So all that showed that it had nothing to do with Akwapindangene or our family. It had everything to do with our father, and really to show what he has done to touch people so deeply, because he always believed that legacy or about himself counts for nothing. He said, don't even mention legacy to him. Legacy to him only matters if you have made a difference in people's lives. And I'm sure the people around Umlazi alone, let alone the education, would agree that he made a bit of a difference. On behalf of my family, on behalf of His Excellency Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, umntwana wakwaPhindangene, I wish to thank the leadership and the community of Mangosuthu University of Technology for honoring our father. I am here as the son of Prince Buthelezi, representing my sisters, the Honorable Princess Phumzile Nokuphiwa and the Honorable Princess Angela Sibuyiselwe, as well as grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and extended family of umntwana wakwaPhindangene. I'm also here on behalf of the Buthelezi clan, whom my father served as Inkosi for 70 years. Some people don't realize that really, if you are Inkosi, you belong to your clan. So all this what our father has done, it was because the Buthelezi clan, together with the family, were prepared to share our father with the nation and beyond. We have all been blessed. Thank you. We have all been blessed by outpouring of support and kind words from so many people throughout the world on the loss of our father. It has been a tremendous comfort to know that we do not mourn alone. Indeed, our grief, as great as it is but a microcosm of the grief that has swept the nation upon learning of Prince Buthelezi's passing. I was just thinking before I continue that, you know, in terms of Mangosuthu, I'm sure we will all be aware that when we are trying to heal, there are certain places which trigger deep emotional things inside of you. When we drove into Mangosuthu, I must say I again felt this emotion, even more so when I'm standing on the stage here, because the last time when he was honored, as Vice Chancellor alluded to, we were sitting with him right here. So I really feel it is very palpable to me, and I'm sure to some people who were here. But it's a wonderful feeling, and it's a very warm feeling. Tributes have come from near and far, from heads of state and former heads of state, from diplomatic corps, from academia, conservationists, the religious community, political parties, Amakosi, juries, royal community development organizations, and countless ordinary people who loved and admired Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi. We have been quite overwhelmed by the beautiful words and extraordinary memories expressed about our father. We always knew, of course, that he was a remarkable man, a great man. And he was a statesman and a champion of our people. But we did not know the full measure of the man until this moment, when so many came forward with their personal stories. You know, somebody said, and also we as a family, that there are so many beautiful facets about our father, that if you looked at him, if you wrongfully looked at him only through the tinted political glasses, you certainly miss the measure of the man. I suspect that even now we do not know the full measure of his contribution to freedom, democracy, social justice, constitutionalism, equality, stability, and peace. His legacy will continue to unfold in the years to come as more and more of the history enters the public discourse. I eagerly await the day that all of the documents, speeches, and correspondence spanning 7 decades of public life will be made available to the world. Then history will be properly told. Fortunately, the momentous project of gathering, arranging, and digitizing all his papers has already begun. At the instance of the Graham McIntosh, a longtime friend of my father, Africa Media Online began creating Principal Tele's digital archive more than 2 years ago. I just happened to mention that as I'm standing in front of here, I feel very blessed in that, you know, if you have a legacy, whether it's in your individual capacity at home, as I just alluded earlier, because all of us, when we wake up every day, we are building our own legacies. Then, of course, they grow in volume all the time. So I feel very, very blessed that I happen also to be the chairman of Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi Museum, where we are trying to put together his life, where at the entrance, a quotation from him just says at the entrance, "If you ever wondered what my life was about, please walk inside." And also really just about another thing, because I'm in an educational institution which has touched me deeply, and you'll really pardon me when maybe you think I'm jumping or I'm just talking from my emotions. Being at an institution vice chancellor, I think I'm very, very fortunate and blessed that I don't know how many people can say when they got their degree, they were actually tapped on the head by their dad as a chancellor. So, anyway, initial funding to begin, as I spoke about what we have started, I'm just continuing. Initial funding to begin the project was graciously provided by Mr. McIntosh, the Eric Thorington Smith Trust, the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung, and the Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi Foundation. The Oppenheimers have also committed funds for the next phase, as we have only just scratched the surface of all that needs to be preserved. Just incidentally, seeing Oppenheimer name comes up, it was really fortuitous that as we were driving here, I got a message to say, "Mr. Oppenheimer, who you know, of course, that my father had a dream, and then Oppenheimer helped him to realize the dream to put up Mangosuthu, which has become a university now." So as I was coming here, I just got a confirmation that he definitely will be attending, flying directly from the overseas just to come for the funeral of my father. Africa Media Online, one of the leaders in the field of digital archiving, speak of Prince Buthelezi's collection as the largest personal collection it has ever seen or worked with. It consists of millions of pages of documents and more than 1 million photographs, audiovisual materials and artifacts. My father was meticulous in keeping records, and anyone who knew him knows that he was a a letter writer par excellence. All of his public speeches were committed to paper, whether he was speaking to an audience of thousands or just a handful of dinner guests. Many people, particularly his political opponents, were taken by surprise when he pulled out a written memorandum, realizing that he had come more than prepared for the task at hand. He kept every piece of paper until our home at Kwaphindangene, and all his offices were various storerooms. And I can tell you, my mother will tell you better about that. There were some really big fights about converting the house into some storeroom. Because wherever you went, there were just documents. And he wouldn't allow you to touch them, because even if you say you want to help him, he will say, no, no, we will do it when I get time, which of course he never got. The house was simply overflowed with documents, among which are the only surviving copies of some very historic records. Africa Media on Life has this to say about my father's archive, and I quote, "The archive of Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi is extraordinary in its detail and depth, and because of that holds promise for the redefining of our collective understanding of a pivotal period in South Africa's history. The transition from apartheid, a particularly localized and entrenched form of colonialism, to a democratic dispensation. The narrative of that transition is dominated by the narrative of those who came into power. Yet, the narrative told by those in power tells why one perspective of one of the world's most extraordinary political transitions. The archive of a significant player in that transition, Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, has the potential to shift the common understanding of that key time in our history. Its extensiveness, depth of documentation, and the character and gifting of the extraordinary man at its center has the potential to shift the way we see the transition. Prince Buthelezi embodied in himself the collision of forces competing to shape the new South Africa. From traditional royalty to modern politician, from churchman to civil servant, from liberation activist to government minister and to acting president of South Africa. As students and academics, I know that the prospect of this archive becoming available is music to your ears. But let me warn you that something as precious as this comes at a precious cost. Millions of rands still need to be raised to see the project continue to completion. I believe it will be done, for something so important as this simply has to happen. The documented facts of our country's past and of the role that Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi played need to be preserved, read, and discussed. There is a conversation that is yet to be had about the past. Some think they understand it, and some act like demigods trying to direct their narrative to their own selfish interests. But the truth is there. It is documented. We need to bring it into the light so that my father will be vindicated in every stand he took, every word he uttered, and every sacrifice he made in the interest of South Africa. One of my father's greatest legacies is, of course, the Mangosuthu University of Technology. I remember well his passion to equip young black oppressed South Africans with vocational skills that could ensure an income for them and their families. This was a time when sanctions and disinvestment from South Africa were biting hard and jobs were difficult to find. Our people were struggling not only with the indignities of political oppression, but with the hardship of poverty and hopelessness. My father always cared about education. He believed it to be the tool with which liberation would be leveraged, both political liberation and liberation from the shackles of poverty. He was very strict with siblings and about our studies, demanding that we apply ourselves at school and at university. I remember diligently writing to him from school to report on my progress and to reassure him that I was working hard. I just would like to share a very light moment here, because it's important that even when we're in grief, we have these glimpses of light moments. When I was at Nkamana High School, boarding there, on Sundays, one of the best things we did as students, remember those days, some of you will remember, I think many of you weren't in this room because it's too far back from their age. That on Sundays, then it would be time mostly, or in weekends, to write letters to family. You'd be given time, especially at the boarding school, to write letters to family, to your girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. So I made a terrible mistake one time. Because I was writing so many letters, I swapped the letters and sent my girlfriend's letter to my father. and my father's letter to my girlfriend. It was, I lived with that for some years. Because when I went home for the weekend, I wasn't even aware, of course. When I went home for the weekend, my father said to me, "Now I know why you've been doing so badly with your results." And then my girlfriend found a letter asking for money. So really, I just thought I would share that on the score. He, of course, was well educated, having attended Adams College and graduated from the University of Fort Hare. It had been his father's dream to see his son, myself, well educated as well. And his mother, Princess Makoko, as well, had encouraged him to be educated. I think just to get an idea of what a remarkable woman Princess Makoko is, my grandfather, his father, died when he was 14. Now, to think that then at that time, at that era, she took him from 14 years to the man, who has given so many reasons to be here today, I think that really says a lot about him. But when he had finished his studies, of course, he was kicked out of Fort Hare University because he was too active in the ANC Youth League. And then he didn't finish his exams. And then he came to Durban to finish his exams, I think, at Natal, where he started saving articles. And then my grandmother, his mother, said, "The time is up." Just when he started doing his articles, he said, "The time is up. Come and become the Inkosofu Buthelezi." And she sold a cow or two to get someone to come and fetch him. So that was the end of the legal career. Prince Buthelezi's legacy as a champion of education became renowned during the liberation struggle. As chief minister of the KwaZulu government, he ensured that more than 6,000 classrooms were built, as well as the teacher training colleges and nursing colleges. As the leader of Inkatha Yenkululeko Yesizwe, he's just opposed the call for our people to abandon their education and burn down their classrooms, with a call to put education first as a vital tool of our liberation. While schools across the country banned, students in KwaZulu Natal, in KwaZulu, were in their classrooms on time, being taught and being shaped to become the future leaders, administrators, lawyers, journalists, doctors, captains of industry, in a liberated South Africa. That was my father's vision. He always looked ahead, not because he lacked the passion to fix immediate problems, but because he knew that unless we build for the future while fighting today's struggle, our fight tomorrow will be that much harder to win. Indeed, at some point, our greatest hopes will wither if we did not constantly enrich the soil in which we are planting. Tragically, he was often ridiculed for his approach, but there's not one among us who fails to recognize now that he was a visionary. Had he not plowed into education, the way he did into the education of hundreds of thousands of youth, our country would be infinitely poor. Even in the last few years, there are still those who wrote him personal letters of appreciation, saying because he founded Mangosuthu Technikon, and because he kept schools open, and because he urged them to pursue education, they became people of influence in their own spheres. I don't know how many times I come across people I've never met everywhere, doctors, lawyers, anything, call it what you like, saying that, you know, I would not be here, I would not be a doctor or a lawyer if it was not for your father. So it really is always touching when they acknowledge that he has made a difference in their lives. Not surprisingly, he was recognized internationally for championing education. I was proud when he was appointed Chancellor of the University of Zululand, my alma mater, in 1979, a position he held for 21 years. By the way, like any other proud son, I had wanted to study at my father's alma mater, the University of Fort Hare, but the government authorities would not allow it, saying that I had to study at the University of Zululand because that's where Zulu study. Remember, those days, they seem so distant. That's where we come from. When the apartheid policy of building ethnic universities began, there were many voices that said the University of Zululand should not be supported because it was a tribal college or bush university. But Prince Buthelezi and his first cousin, His Majesty King Cyprian Kasolomon, supported the university, understanding the importance of making tertiary education accessible to our youth. For this and for much more, Prince Buthelezi was honored by the academic world. He received the honorary doctorate of law from the University of Zululand in 1976, from the University of Cape Town in 1978, from Tampa University in Florida in the United States in 1985, and from the University of Boston, Massachusetts in 1986. In 1989, the City University of Los Angeles awarded him an honorary doctorate of humane letters. Prince Buthelezi first received his passion for education from his father, but in his matric year at Adams, that passion was ignited when he began assisting his uncle, Dr. Pisley Isaka Kaseme, the founder of Africa's oldest liberation movement. Dr. Seme had undergone an eye operation and had limited sight. He therefore called upon his clever young nephew to transcribe his correspondence as he discussed it. Considering their relationship and the time they spent together, it is not surprising that Dr. Seme became one of Prince Buthelezi's mentors, stirring in him deep political convictions and a deep love of country. Dr. Seme was a great academic, having studied at Columbia University and Oxford, as well as in the Netherlands. That is extraordinary for the time in which he lived. I'm sure we will all attest. More extraordinary still was that Dr. Seme was admitted as an attorney of the Supreme Court in 1911. So he was an exceptional academic. My father admired him greatly and soaked up his wisdom. He often quoted Dr. Seme's iconic speech in London, delivered more than 100 years ago, titled "The Regeneration of Africa." In that speech, Dr. Seme foresaw the chains of Africa dissolving, Zululand becoming the seat of science, and our cities alive with business and commerce. This would happen, Seme said, because, and I quote, having learned that knowledge is power, the African is education in children. That had an enormous impact on Prince Buthelezi. It is why he founded institution which he proudly bears the name of. In March this year, when Dr. Sandile Zungu was installed as the Chancellor of Mangosuthu University of Technology, my father came to this very hall and spoke. And he so often did to the students and leadership of this institution. I would like to quote a small part of what he said, for there is no one who can explain my father's heart better than he himself. He said, and I quote, "More than 40 years ago, when we built Nbangosuthu Technikon here in Umlazi, my vision was to create an institution that would equip the youth of this community so that they would be able to shape and own the future." It was a bold vision for our people. Our people were suffering under the cruel injustice of political oppression, and the future did not yet belong to our youth. We were still fighting for that inheritance. But even as we fought, I knew that we needed to prepare the next generation so that when we finally won, they would be ready to take the reins and thrive. Close quote. With each successive year, this institution produced a battalion of capable South Africans, ready and equipped to become the leaders and administrators, entrepreneurs and employers of our people. Prince Buthelezi walked a long road with MUT. He did not simply birth the institution and then hope it would thrive or flourish. He nurtured it and guided it and lent his support at every turn. He was immensely proud to see one of Umlazi's own installed as Chancellor this year. My only regret is that he never had the chance to meet with Professor Lawrence van Staden, as he had intended to do, for their busy diaries clashed until it was too late. Maybe at this point, VC, I just need to mention that one of the things which sat very deeply in his heart evidently was Mangosuthu. And I remember as he was getting very ill, when he mentioned to me as one of the things that he was making sure that he lives with me, he said he would really like me to always, because Mangosuthu was his pride, not because of his name, but because of the things we have touched on now, which were part of his vision. He asked that if I could please, in any way possible, keep close to Mangosuthu University on his behalf. I think I commit here that in whichever way I will be required to help, so that together we make that vision live, I'm here to perform that job. Prince Buthelezi walked a long road. Oh, sorry, I'm finished. But I know what he would have told Professor van Staden. This institution is a cornerstone of community. It is a wellspring of hope. It is a weapon against future hardships for so many people and must be protected. Today, on behalf of the Buthelezi family, I wish again to thank Mr. Nicky Oppenheimer and the Oppenheimer family, not only for the seed capital provided by Mr. Harry Oppenheimer more than 40 years ago, but for their continued commitment to the well-being of this institution. Like my father, Oppenheimer family has maintained the fight for education. I think we can give them a hand, please. So once again, thank you for honoring Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi. It would have meant the world to him to see the depth of your love. I think he knew, but we could never have shown him enough. We take comfort now as we grieve this great loss, knowing that Prince Buthelezi can finally say those words he had hoped to say. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for this appearing. Timothy 2, verse 4, 7 to 6. Really, just to conclude, is that as we were debating as a family with so many things we have to do at home right now preparing for the funeral, when this request came, there was no argument about the fact that I had to drop everything, if not for our family, but for our father, and be standing in front of you today. So I rushed down. I'm going to rush back home, but I'm so pleased with the warmth I've felt this morning, because I still feel like, especially as I alluded later, like my father is sitting here. So I really appreciate you, and as a family, we want really to extend our warmest appreciation for all of you because of what you have shown to us, because we feel that really each and every one of you is a signature of endorsement to what our father tried to do. Because I'm saying try, because our father as a Christian, he always say, he ascribes strongly to the definition of a saint, which went, a saint is someone who died trying. Thank you very much.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.